Hey, this is Zep, and on behalf of the guys, Stru, Boomer, and Lukey, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast of The Ticket Outdoors, brought to you by Mills Fleet Farm. And remember, when nothing's going right, just go fishing.
Safety on the road starts at Mills Fleet Farm. Right now, get a $50 gift card when you buy a set of Roadrunner, Cooper, Uniroyal, Mastercraft, or Starfire tires. Plus, get up to an additional $70 Visa card rebate on select Cooper tires. Need a snack? Dry roasted peanuts are on sale. Two 16-ounce jars, just $3. Power through piles of laundry with Tide Simply Clean or Era 2x Power. Your choice, only $7.88 at Mills Fleet Farm.
It's time for Ticket Outdoors on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I just like to let the music linger. It kind of freaks everybody else out in the studio. Is he going to say anything? Welcome to Ticket Outdoors. That's what I have to say. I'm Zap. We've got the wild card Stru Man in here. Everybody, the whole gang's here.
Boy. Boomer. Even honoring us by spending some time with us tonight.
Boomer's almost the wild card in that we don't know if he's going to be here or not because he's out living. He walks the walk and not only talks the talk.
Boys, I was holding beautiful fish at about noon, 1 o'clock before I came home from Leech Lake today.
You've got a look on your face like Stru has when he's had a lover's weekend, the honeymoon suite with Diana.
I think I was this happy last time when I had about 16 prom or something like that. You know, I got a little smile on my face.
You got a big smile on your face. Our producer, Mark Lukey, he's even in here on the microphone tonight. You got something to say, big guy?
I'm just going to defend myself when Jason Mitchell comes on.
Oh, man. Crush
only Wednesday.
Why did I even ask? When I saw Jason Mitchell, we're lucky enough to get Jason on the schedule tonight. I knew that I was like, oh, you're going to be all dressed up and showered. And Stan, how do you say it? Kreidermacher?
Kreidermacher.
Kreidermacher.
Nice guy. His wife's a
it's
riot.
It's never Crater. It's always Cree or Kreider.
No, it's
Kreidermacher. He's got that new state record for the black powder whitetail deer, non-typical, that's just amazing. Everybody, what is it,
248?
Something off the scales, huge like that. Mark Harsh, United Blood Trackers, they use dogs to track deer, which is very curious to me. And what was more curious to me is how it's only legal in about half the states?
Yeah, 28 states.
Yeah, well, that's
28 states, and most of those I do not require a license.
If you hunt year in and year out deer, whether it's archery or rifle or black powder, whatever, if you hunt deer, you've lost one along the way somewhere. I've lost, I'm thinking of a couple, a heartbreaker, a muley out in West River that... just talking about it now is going to get me a little emotional. He's out there somewhere. The coyotes got him. But you lose him, and that's the worst thing. You don't want to lose a deer.
I'll never forget, guys, Struan's up, and Marky and Tim Moore. Tim Moore Outdoors TV.
I was just getting to Tim. We'll get to him.
When I was, I can't remember the legal, 15, the first time I went deer hunting, I was up north, and Dad and I had separated in stands, and I was sitting in a foxhole, and I had this beautiful 8-point basket rack.
Yeah.
Jump the fence, get over there, and I think I was using a 257 Roberts, and at the time, I had a 3x9 scope, and if a deer is 10 yards away from you, it's really hard.
Even at 3.
It's hard.
All
Brown
you see is
down,
clear,
right?
Right, right?
But I shot this buck, Zep, and I was so pumped, Stru, and of course, they say to wait 30, 45 minutes. Well, when you're 15 years old, that goes in a heartbeat.
Yep. 1,000 and I'm off.
We tracked that deer. Remember that deer, Dad, up at Hack West? We tracked that deer for 2.5 days and never found it. Followed the blood trail for about a mile and a half. And I tell you what, that still haunts me to this day when I shoot a deer That's just a horrible feeling as a deer hunter when you shoot something or anything as a hunter.
I think it's a little more common maybe with archery. Even if you get a clean shot through and you've got a nice bloody arrow, they can run a couple of miles, depending on, if you did you get a lung shot, did you get a hard shot, maybe you got a vital shot. But
right.
So anyway, dogs tracking deer, and then we're going to wrap it up, but he's here for the whole show. Tim Moore Outdoors in studio with us tonight. Tim, welcome to Ticket Outdoors. Are you over there behind a computer screen somewhere?
I'm right here. Thank you, sir.
I see you, buddy.
Welcome, Timmy.
I see you, buddy. You're not any prettier than you are on screen.
I have a face for radio.
We all do.
Hey, since you guys talked about the one time you missed a deer or shot a deer and didn't get the first deer I ever shot, my old man would not let me sit down at a tree stand or a stand until I would not let me put a shell on the gun until I was sitting down.
Yeah.
And I hunted the first 2 days with a 20 gauge, And then Earl Hetherington next door to us said, listen, let the kid use my 30-30. And I never used a 30-30 before, not used to the lever action, whatever. But a big swamp came by, big swamp buck came by, and I stood. It was raining. Remember that? My brother Dave said I didn't have to stand up. I shot. I hit it. But I didn't do the lever far enough and didn't eject the shell okay. far enough, and I couldn't shoot for a second time.
Yeah.
And then we stood around, and we literally heard this deer fall. And my old man said what your dad said. We were taught, hang around for 10, 15, 20 minutes, see what happens. Then my dad and I went down, heard it get up and go across the creek and washed most of its blood off, walked across the creek, found a small blood trail, and then we found out where this deer had laid, and there was a ball of leaves about the size of a softball that literally my dad thought that he literally tried to use his hooves or something to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
And we never found that deer. That was a big old monster.
And it's one thing you mentioned. If you lose it as an adult, it's like, doggone it. But when you're a young man, that's just a heartbreaker.
And I remember finding a bone. And we brought it someplace, and someone said it from the brisket. I have no idea what the brisket is, but that's what it was. They thought. But I hit it someplace, but it didn't get it down. That was my first year.
I'm sorry to interrupt, guys. We're going to have another one of these shows. Mark, is there somebody out there who can turn off this satellite automation? Otherwise, every one of our commercial breaks is just going
to
sit here and play while we talk.
If that doesn't happen with
right?
Zappers.
Exactly.
No, they can't happen because I gave Cumulus, according to your suggestion last week, I gave Cumulus $50.
Right.
You said $50 we could fix this stuff, and I wrote a check last week.
Did you notice Mark has a little extra hip in his step, Zep, to get that fixed with Jason Mitchell being on today?
Boy.
He's just like, oh, my God, we got to get fixed now.
We don't want Zep freaking out with Jason Mitchell and Tim Moore in studio. No, I went ahead and stopped it, and our listeners don't care, and this is boring behind-the-scenes stuff that we shouldn't be taking time for, but I was, since the last fiasco, going to figure this out. Guess what I didn't get around to. Yeah, right after I cleaned my shotgun. All right, guys, we just came off of a great show Sunday. You talk about the Minnesota Deer Classic.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Up at the Blaine Sports Center, and we were up there Sunday for the tail end of it. Out of those 40 venison sticks I bought, I only have 3 left. Is that a problem?
Did you really buy 40?
I bought 40 of them, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a place out of Illinois. He said we'd mail them to you. Gary, I just need to... Gary, our engineer in here, this guy's amazing.
Hi, Gary.
And he's always cleaning up my mess. I'm like a pet of his, and he just has to walk around with a pooper scooper. I just need to shut the network is still firing. How do I turn the network off? Well, we can do that. In fact, we're going to play a commercial break, and maybe you can show me how to do that. We'll do that in a couple minutes. And then we've got Jason Mitchell. You a big Jason Mitchell fan? That guy over there? Yeah, weird.
Sure.
He has a cardboard cutout in his room. It's weird.
Well, in the meantime,
Man Crush Wednesday.
Jason Mitchell, I'm a couple episodes behind. That's Fox Sports North. It's on, I think it's Sunday morning. It DVRs, so I forget when it's
Sunday
on.
Sunday mornings, and then he's also got the new hunting show he came out with last fall, Passion for the Hunt.
I haven't seen that one yet. I've heard some good things about it. But Jace is a North Dakota boy, Woodland Resorts. That's where... he and Mark first fell in love and shared a romantic weekend up there when it was a blizzard, I guess. So poor Jason was stuck inside with Mark for probably the entire weekend.
The only time, guys, that we have, we've had some pretty cool people on the show, some pretty A-list personalities. We've had Benny Spies, who from Sportsman's Channel, he was up to be the show of the year. We've had Babe Winkleman on. We've had... I can't even start to name it, but a ton of,
Nicole Jacobs.
A-list celebrities. And the first time when we posed for pictures, Zep, usually we all get in the picture, with Cindy Jo Schlower,
Cindy.
We had her.
CJ.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
Boomer was strutting like a Tom the whole time.
I did.
She likes my cage. She likes me.
Oh, it's going to get going. So, So, Mark, as soon as Mitchell gets up there to take a pitch, and of course, Jason Mitchell was nice enough to buy us dinner. That was pretty studly of him.
Yeah.
Mark's like, no, just me and Jason. And if you look at that picture, just look at where Mark's hands are.
I happen to be warming my hands up because we're out in the 60 below, and my hands are down the front of my bibs.
Man, crush.
I had to write, where did we stay? Woodland Resort? Is that what it was?
Yeah,
yes. Woodland Resort. I had to write a small check before I left there because of the hole in the sheetrock from Mark bouncing my ass against the wall to get me out of that picture. So that's about what it was like. He was all thrilled about being in a picture with Jason Mitchell all by himself.
Well, hey, what do you think there, Marky? You ready to give him a call? Should we
let's do it.
I mean, we're a couple minutes
working?
Early in the break. I want to hit it now so we can figure it out during the break. And let's get Jason.
One quick shout out, Brian. I just told Sophie I'd give her a shout out because Dad's been traveling doing a little fishing. So, Sophie, I love you, and I can't wait. We'll be going fishing soon. So.
That does not count as parenting, but that's sweet. That's sweet. Hey, I want to thank our sponsors, Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, Lakes Trading Company, our newest sponsor, Custom Truck Accessories. I got to visit those guys.
Yep.
Looking for a new grill for the truck. Maybe a new tonneau cover.
That, right off of Highway 65.
That's all the water.
Make sure you get to your judging job easier.
At Mills Fleet Farm, made in the USA is more than a label. It's the way we do business. A Roadrunner Supreme Power Battery is $10 off with exchange. Touch up with Rust-Oleum Painter's Touch Spray Paint. 12-ounce cans, $2.99. Get your fishing tackle organized now with the Plano Hybrid Hips Doorway Tackle Box. Just $39.99. And made in the USA almonds are on sale. 16 ounces, $5.99 at Mills Fleet Farm.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family owned can make for you.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it.
Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you, then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DanSouthsideMarine.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Well, now look what happened. You left your radio set to 105, and you accidentally ended up with the Ticket Outdoors show. The Wild Man's true. We've got Boomer and our producer, Mark Lukey. In studio, Tim Moore, Tim Moore Outdoors. And it's weird, you know, when you see these guys on television. We're just radio geeks, but you see these guys on TV, and then you get them in studio. It's kind of weird. It's freaking me out. It's weird not seeing you sitting out on the ice, Tim.
Or in a kayak or something.
Like Jason Mitchell. I told you I DVR his show, Jason Mitchell Outdoors, all the time. And now we've actually got him on the telly. Jason Mitchell, the man, the myth, on Ticket Outdoors. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on. Somebody's alarm just went off. But thanks for being on. Where are you at? You up at Devil's Lake this evening? I suppose you're hopping all over the place these days.
No, I'm actually up on Leech Lake here right now. We just filmed a really fun panfish bite out here. And then I think I'm going to go eel pout fishing tonight and get a little bit of sleep. And I'm heading over to Osakis tomorrow for the Ice Team University. So I'll be fishing in your great state for a few more days here. Then I'll be heading back to the prairie and fishing out there. So,
hey, Jason Boomer, what's going on, buddy?
I'm trying to catch a fish, man. You know the living the dream.
I hear you. Well, Jason, welcome to the Ticket Outdoors official first show of Man Crush Wednesday.
Jesus.
We appreciate you joining us. We've got to give our producer, Mark, a little grief from our lunch date that we all had in Devil's Lake about a couple months ago.
I don't even want to know where this is going to go. Then
I'll tell you what, Jason. This is Steve Strusinski. We're going to finish that topic right now. But I want to tell you, I'm one of the only people in the studio that did not want you on tonight because. I'm serious. I'm tired of all these big shots taking my money because all the money that we're paying you is coming out of my paycheck. So I'm tired of that crap.
It's not a Ticket Outdoors show, Jason, until Stru insults one of our guests.
How you doing, Jim? Welcome. Thanks for being on.
So, Jason, tell what's new with you with Jason Mitchell Outdoors TV, and tell our listeners a little bit what's going on with it.
You know, we're just, we're editing shows right now, and we're filming a lot of shows. We filmed a lot of great stuff all winter. We're sitting really good with that, and we're going to keep filming until we run out of ice. But, I'm already starting to think about open water. You know, I'm trying to think where I'm going to go. You know, in April and May and March, I might run down to the Missouri River and do some stuff right away. But, I'm looking forward to getting in a boat, but I've got a lot of work to do on the ice. So we've been busy. One of the busiest times of the year for us.
So when do you guys, Jason, for your fan base out there that watches Jason Mitchell Outdoors on Fox Sports North, and it's Sunday mornings, right, Jason?
Yes. Sunday mornings.
Sunday mornings at what time?
It's 9:30, is it? Or I DVR it, so yeah. It's at 9 o'clock. Okay. Yeah. I think on... back home, I think, on Fox Sports Midwest. Mom and Dad get it. I think it might be 9:30 on Saturday mornings.
Yes. But
if I'm remembering right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Boomer.
I was going to say for our listeners, Jason, tell them a little bit about what's it like to film that. I mean, how many episodes do you guys film a year with that, and then how far in advance? And giving our listeners a little bit of insight of how outdoor television works.
Well, I got to film typically between 25 and 30 episodes a year, and it's a lot of driving, it's a lot of road time. It's the cool thing is I get to travel all over and fish with some great people and fish some great destinations. And Boomer, I was a guide for many years, and I loved guiding. I still miss it. I wasn't the best fisherman in the world, but I just had the right patience. When somebody reeled up an 8-pound walleye to the rod tip, it was a gong show, and the fish got off. I didn't break the rod. I was laid back enough to where I could deal with the gong shows. But I loved guiding. But the thing about guiding was that I never got to leave Devil's Lake. It's all on Devil's Lake every single day. I always heard about different lakes, always read about them, but I never really got to go anywhere. And so now with television, I get to go all over and meet some great people and fish, some of the best fishing areas in this region. And I love every second of it. I got to pinch myself every day. I always tell people I'm doing what I do right now is what I want to do when I was 5 years old. I'm not even going to tell you how much fun I have because I'm worried you guys will ruin it for me.
Jason, one of the things I love about your show, Jason Mitchell Outdoors, is when you go to the, you talked about going to these different bodies of water, you usually have a guest or a local guide, somebody that you touch base with when you get there. Is there a, and so we're kind of learning along with you, and that's one of the things I like. It's, a lot of people that do these shows, when they get there, they know it all. But you're asking questions that we want to ask, and you're getting it from the local guy that you, like you were a local guy up at Devil's Lake, the guy that knows the lake inside and out, grew up on it, and guides on it.
They're going to give you the best information. And, there's a lot of egos in fishing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of know-it-alls, and they know everything. I always believe in giving credit where credit's due. And, Tony Dean was a master of that.
Yes.
He never claimed to be the greatest fisherman, but he was a great platform to help somebody tell their story. And that's all I try to do. I can't know everything. The thing is, as a guide, I remember what it was like to be on Devil's Lake, being out there every day, holding somebody's hand, putting them right on the spot. And pretty soon, you have some arrogant TV guy, pretty much just kind of cut you right out of it and just kind of take credit. And fishing, give credit where credit's due. If somebody shows you something, be a man enough to, acknowledge it and thank the person. And so I have no issues with that. And the thing is if you don't fish with other people that are outside of your little box, pretty soon all the shows sound the same and they are the same. You got to have that outside influence, just to give different perspectives and kind of broaden things a little bit. I really believe in that. So,
hey, Jason,
that's just my take on it.
Jason, you mentioned one of the things that's great about being able to be with Jason Mitchell Outdoors and traveling and fishing all different kinds of lakes. Okay, one of the lakes you're fishing right now, I think, is Leech Lake. What brought you up there? Is some kind of event up there? And have you caught any fish?
Yeah, we filmed an incredible panfish show today. Some really big bluegills, some really big crappies. You can take Mille Lacs, Winnie, Leech Lake, all these big lakes have some tremendous panfish, but sometimes they're kind of tricky to find. But, you know, in that late ice period, and sometimes you can find some of these panfish in some of these big bays, but you know, these big lakes have potential to catch, you know, to produce some really big quality panfish if you can find them. That's the hard part, is if you can find them. But, you know, that was kind of the storyline on today's show, and we caught some dandies. I mean, these fish are just thick. I mean, they're, you know, bluegills up to, you know, 9.5, 10 inches, crappies up to 14 inches, and they're
wow,
thick
and balls water.
Yeah. As three fingers, you know, so great fish. But, yeah, we were up here for Ice Shots, which is a media event for Clam Corp and Vexlar, so we got to see all the new products, spend some time with some riders. I even got to see Boomer. You guys don't realize how much he embarrasses your radio show when he says,
I think we do realize.
Yes,
we've
do.
Been out
okay.
with him enough. But,
it's kind of a double-edged sword. You got to get him away from you, but at the same time, when he goes around the corner, you don't know what he's saying.
Hold on, Jason. I was just having a bite of a sandwich. But inside joke for our listeners. But, you know, one of the cool things about Jason Mitchell is I've had the really blessed opportunity to get to know Jason as a friend over the last 3-4 years ago. And you talk about a guy that walks the walk and talks the talk. You know, he talked about, Jason, your guiding experience on Devil's Lake. And I know we shared some fun stories last night and over the last few years. And the Ticket Outdoors, we're going to try to get out to Devil's Lake again this summer. And Jason, thank you in advance for getting us. I still have to get Strew on some big fish there in Devil's Lake.
No. Get me on a fish. I don't give a rat's ass if it's a big fish. Get me a fish.
But I'll tell you what a trooper and what a real deal someone like Jason Mitchell is we were up there for the last 2 days for Clam and Vexler at this Ice Shots, which is a media event, a lot of great fishing, and we caught some beautiful crappies and some awesome bluegills. And Jason fished with us for a few days, and then after that, you know, he just filmed another episode for Jason Mitchell Outdoors, which is on Fox Sports North Sunday mornings. And Jason's hand is kind of hurt, guys. He's kind of got, what is it, Jason, frostbite in about three fingers?
Yeah, I got a little frostbite.
A little frostbite.
Is that the walk in the walk part?
He can't move two fingers.
Yeah.
And he's still reeling in fish.
Today and I look like Michael Jackson. I've got one glove. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to really show people, and I don't want nearly attention.
That for when you get into the bar.
I'm
a little sympathy.
Michael Jackson fan. Right. You know.
Just don't put any sequins on it, man.
Hey, Jason. Yeah. Jason, the Boomer had a chance to take us out to Woodland Resort right by you. I met you a couple of weeks back, whatever it is, and we froze our butts off. The weather was terrible. Caught some fish, but not nearly as many as we would have liked. And I had a great, great time. I want to go out there in the summer, but I was looking at some of your stuff from years back, and in 2003 and 2004, I saw some of your TV stuff. And I forget who we were fishing with, but back then, the walleye limit was 10 a day, and I think Northerns were also a 10 a day. Is that what it still is right now?
Yeah.
What is it right? What happened? I mean,
no, it's
that seems like a lot.
Five walleyes per day, but 10 in possession.
Okay, it's still a lot.
So,
that's not bad.
We got a hold of you before you headed out there.
Don't worry, you never catch five.
He's never going to catch five, Jason.
Ticket Outdoors, radio man, busted for.
Yeah. Well, Jason said we could catch 10.
Yeah.
Hey, all publicity is good, man. We'll take it as long as it's not me.
Mark Lukey took me back to the Twin Cities, and it's about a six-hour ride, but if we could stop going like 75 and a 65 or something, we're about 10 miles outside of Devil's Lake, and the cop pulls him over, and Mark says, do you know why? I know who Jason Mitchell is. Well, yeah. You know, that's Mark Lukey.
So many speeding tickets out there, they would probably throw you in jail.
Yeah.
Every time I'm in North Dakota, I'm shocked they have a speed limit. I'm not sure why, and I'm a South Dakota kid, so I say that lovingly. If there's any place you can put the hammer down, yeah, boom.
So, Jason, a little bit more. Let's talk about Jason Mitchell Outdoors Television. So I know you talked about filming about 24 different episodes. One of the things that I've learned from Jason, and I still have a long way to learn, is, you know, I always ask a lot of questions about the editing piece and what happens behind the scenes, because they're out there filming for hours and maybe if not days to bring that 30 minutes to you on Sunday mornings on Fox Sports North. Jason, can you tell our listeners a little bit about, after you get to the destination and you get ready to film, tell our listeners a little bit, like, how many hours of film and different cameras and editing that goes into that 30-minute show?
you know, and typically in a 30-minute show, you know, we've got a day of filming as far as a day of fishing. Every once in a while, it might take more than that. But typically, you know, I mean, you know, the thing is with a half-hour show, and you've got commercials and the intro and, you know, the ending of the show, you know, you really only need 7-8 fish. Well, you got two people, but that's 4 fish per day per person,
yeah.
You know. And so if you can't catch that many fish in a day, you probably shouldn't have a TV show, you know.
Good point. Hey, guys,
That's the easy part. But then we might go back through and the next day and maybe shoot some underwater shots. Maybe go around town and shoot some shots of the area, maybe some wider shots of the lake. You know, maybe there's something where the bass were eating crayfish, and so, okay, let's try to catch a crayfish and shoot an underwater shot of it, you know. So there might be some, you know, things, some follow-up work, you know, to kind of wrap everything up. But typically, you know, we've got a, you know, I would say our average show takes a day and a half to film, you know, including everything. You know, I've been a long ways from home before where the fishing is absolutely terrible. And I didn't know what I was doing. Like, my goodness, I can't buy a fish. You know, it's just embarrassing,
Humiliating,
you know. You know, you're wearing the same clothes for 3 or 4 days in a row, you know, trying to get it done. But, you know, it doesn't happen very often. Usually day and a half, and we're out of there. So.
Jason, we talked to a couple of guys like you once in a while who do the TV shows, and they travel around the country doing what they want to do. And I keep thinking about the support you have to have back home. That has to be amazing. You have to have one special woman.
Yeah, she is. And, you know, and I've got 2 great kids. You know, they're 7 and 6. And I tell you what, I go home and get home whenever I can. I try to be a good dad and a good husband. You know, it's funny, I do get home. People are like, oh, let's go fishing. Well, it's surprising. But, you know, after I've been gone for a week, when I finally get home, I might take the kids out for half a day. You know, they're little right now. But, you know, a lot of times I'm just trying to be home and get caught up and, you know, try, you know, today I am on the road a lot. And the blessing is my wife gets to stay home. You know, the fishing industry has been great to me. You know, it's been great for my family. You know, my wife's always wanted to stay home with her kids. And so that's how we justify it. But if my wife was gone and worked like I do, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, I suppose. Hey, can I ask, do I have time for one technical question?
Yeah, and then for our listeners out there, we have Jason Mitchell on, North Dakota boy, Jason Mitchell, Outdoors Television on Fox Sports North, as well as after this break, we're going to bring Jason back on. And Jason, we're going to talk about Passion for the Hunt, your new hunting show on Fox Sports North. But Stru, you got the last question, Jason, before we go into break.
Technical question, Jason. The equipment has changed so drastically the last 10, 15, 20 years, and it continues to change, obviously. Ice fishing rods, you can buy 30, 40 different kinds. Who knows? How do you balance the back of the rod with the tip of the rod? You know, you have to have something solid on the backside. How do you know when you have to have something real flexible and something that's not as flexible?
Well, you know, everybody's got a different thing. I like backbone on rods just because I like to be able to hook it, you know, set the hook with the wrist. You know, there's noodling rods where you pretty much have to move your entire body to dislocate your shoulder to the hook, you know, and the rod tip is touching your knuckle and you're reeling in a fish. I don't like sloppy, soft rods like that. I like rods with the backbone, but you know, you can modify that action by, you know, changing the resin and changing the composition of the blank so you can have a soft tip and combine it with a fat, you know, with backbone. But, you know, what's funny is that I typically, my personal preference is I like stiffer rods than probably what a lot of people do. And I've noticed that even when I've been, you know, making rods and been in the rod industry, is that a lot of times I find that what I like isn't what the consumer likes.
Even when you're fishing for the perch?
Yeah, I remember one time I got an ice fishing show, and I like a fast-tip graphite walleye rod for jigging spoons and jigging wraps and chubby darters, things like that. Someone's got a fast tip. And I can't tell you how many prototypes of rods I've had over the years where the rod was soft, and it cost me a lot of fish. Hmm. I mean, I just break over my knee. I have no room for a soft, bouncy, sloppy rod action when I'm working those spoons. I mean, I know I catch way less fish on them, but, you know, I was at a sports show, I remember one time, and the guy's looking at my rod, and, God, your rods are way, way, way too stiff for walleye fishing. You know, looking at me like I never caught a walleye before, you know. I got to talk to him a little bit. Well, yeah, he's using a bobber and a minnow, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're using a bobber, you know, no, you don't need to spend $40 or $100 on a rod. You know, just put the bobber on a rattle reel. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you can have a softer rod. I mean, a softer rod is perfect for dead stick live bait stuff where the rod's just sitting there. But, you talk to 10 different people, you get 10 different ideas, and, you know, my answer isn't the only answer either. You know, I've you know, that's just my own personal preference.
Now I know.
Jason Mitchell says, Steph, we're talking to Jason Mitchell outdoors. We're going to switch it up, come back with Jace, and talk about passion for the hunt on Ticket Outdoors.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Well, I just feel like we've got this worked out now.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors.
At Mills Fleet Farm, made in the USA is more than a label. It's the way we do business. A Roadrunner Supreme Power Battery is $10 off with exchange. Touch up with Rust-Oleum Painter's Touch Spray Paint. 12-ounce cans, $2.99. Get your fishing tackle organized now with the Plano Hybrid Hips Doorway Tackle Box, just $39.99. And Made in the USA almonds are on sale. 16 ounces, $5.99 at Mills Fleet Farm.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com. Or stop by their store to see what a difference being family-owned can make for you.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep, traded for it.
Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you, then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DanSouthsideMarine.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Hey, take the worry out of winter driving. We might want to update this copy, but that's how quickly the weather changed here for us. Mills Fleet Farm has all the best brands of tires, Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many, many more. We're back with Jason Mitchell, Jason Mitchell Outdoors, and we're going to switch it up a little bit with Jason's show, Passion for the Hunt. Yeah, he doesn't spend all of his time on water, hard, or out in the open water. He likes to blast geese and all sorts of things. Jason, Ticket Outdoors, get us started on Passion for the Hunt. How long have you been doing Passion for the Hunt? This one I'm just kind of starting to become familiar with.
Well, you know, we just started our first season last year, and you know, a lot of people, you know, might be surprised to realize this, but I love to hunt. I'm an avid hunter, and you know, I spent many years, you know, guiding for waterfowl hunting off of Devil's Lake region and along the Missouri River, and I love bow hunting and I love big game hunting, and so it's something new that we just started last year. We just decided to start to produce a hunting show as well, and so last year, you know, we kind of stuck our necks in a little bit and got our feet wet, and you know, had a lot of fun with it, and got our head above water, and we got some great partners that we work with, Arctic Shield, Minnesota company, great outerwear and great cold leather clothing for hunting, and Shields and a couple other companies that we work with, and this year we're going to go a little bit more full bore, and last year we had a I had so much luck last fall hunting that I'm worried that I had to use up all my mojo for the
right.
next decade. So.
Right, I know exactly how you feel. You have that one great year, whether it's, you know, you get the big buck that you want, then you have a great waterfowl season and a great upland season, right. And you're like, oh, I'm going to get skunked for the next 3 years. I'm going to pay for this one.
You just know that something's going to go wrong. The wheels on the bus are going to fall off.
Jason, hey, talking about Passion for the Hunt, Passion for that. How is it, or is it different than doing fishing shows?
Well, you know, I was telling you that a fishing show takes a day and a half. No. Hunting shows take a lot more. I mean, the waterfall shows for me are a slam dunk. I wait till everything lines up perfectly and, you know, come out, you know, get the camera guys out there and get it done in a day. But, you know, like the, you know, elk hunt, you know, we were out there for 5 days and I shot a great bull elk, but, you know, I could have been out there 2 weeks and not shot one. You
right.
know, and I was
oh,
out
yeah.
there bear hunting and, out there bear hunting in Manitoba and shot a great bear. And I think that was on the last night of our hunt. Well, I shot an antelope in Wyoming. That only took 2 days. Let's see, I shot a white, great whitetail in North Dakota with my bow. And then I shot a mule deer. Get this, I shot a mule deer out in Montana. And I was on a 5 day, I was out there for 5 days, and I shot it the last 15 minutes of daylight.
Wow.
And that, by the time we got done packing out, you know, I kind of bring on a lot of this misery onto myself, but where did I have to be the next day after shooting this mule deer? I'd be in Blaine, Minnesota.
Hardwater Expo.
Oh, the Hardwater Expo.
In the middle
yeah.
of Montana. By the time we got this deer packed, this is a beautiful buck. Mm. I mean, I it was just an incredible hunting experience, and got it all on film. And by the time, you know, we get done with that, it's 10 o'clock at night. Plus, I lose an hour with the time change, and I got to be in Blaine, Minnesota at noon the next day.
Yep. So there's another speeding ticket out in the middle of Montana
yeah.
or North Dakota. You got that's that beautiful drive across North Dakota,
especially in the middle of the night. You
yeah.
know, you're driving all night and you're by yourself.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah. So
you could just call our producer Mark next time, Mitchell.
He'll come get you.
I'll give you a ride, buddy.
He'll come yeah. pick you up.
I'll take him up on it.
So, hey, Jason, these boys will talk more about passion for the hunt, but I got to tell you this. You would appreciate one of our guests is coming on maybe next. I think it is. A gentleman from Minnesota named Stan Kretemacher just shot the state record black powder whitetail.
Non-typical.
Non-typical. Wow. It scored a 248.
My goodness.
248.
Yeah.
And he's going to be on for about 15 minutes later on. So you might have to podcast,
yeah,
listen to the
keep
story.
Keep in mind, it's
tell
a non,
the story.
It's a non-typical, but 28 points? Was that right?
Yeah.
It was upper 20s.
Wow.
Yeah, a monster.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's just incredible. I can't even imagine, you know, what it must be like just to see a deer like that.
Yeah,
right?
I know what you're talking about.
Incredible.
So for our listeners that are just dialed into the Ticket Outdoors on Ticket Sports Radio 105 FM, don't forget to follow us on Facebook.com/TheTicketOutdoors. And tonight we have the one, the only, North Dakota's Jason Mitchell, the TV star on Fox Sports North of Jason Mitchell Outdoor Television, as well as Passion for the Hunt. And Jason, we can't have you on the Ticket Outdoors and not ask for some open water fishing tips. So we were up on Leech Lake for ice shots. The bite was awesome, but we know that the ice fishing season is nearing an end, and folks are getting antsy. I know I'm antsy to get the Alumacraft up there on the Rainy River and start chasing some sturgeon soon. Jason, give our listeners some tips as far as, one, getting their boat ready for spring, and then some tactics in general they can use to catch some fish this spring when the open water season hits.
Well, you know, Boomer, first of all, I got to make a confession. I'm the worst guy when it comes to taking care of stuff.
No.
So you're an average guy.
I backed my boat in and I plugged it in. That's about what I did. And then I'm going to unplug it. I'm going to grab the same rod that I laid down last year, and I'm going to pick it up and make a cast with it.
You're my kind of man.
I said so he's like one of us.
Get that off my chest. But no, in all seriousness, you know, I really like to target smaller lakes early in the year. But one thing that I'm really spend a lot of time looking at when I'm fishing a lake early in the season is I'm looking at water temperature and I'm looking at stain in the water. And you'll see, you know, water temperature is relative, but you know, you'll see where you'll go across different parts of the lake, it'll be colder, then you go back around this particular bay and the wind might be slapping back in there a little bit, but the temperature will be warmer. But sometimes too, the wind will push cool water from a cold area in the lake and push it back into a bay and kill your bite. But really monitor that water temperature, you know, and look for those warming areas in the lake. Look for the warmest areas in the lake. The other thing that I like to do is look for stained water. You know, the clear water is your worst enemy early in the season. And a lot of times your clear water is going to be your colder water. When the water warms up a little bit, it tends to stain up. And so that's, you know, that's something that's helped me out immensely early in the year with walleye fishing, even bass fishing, panfish is, you know, look for that warmer water, look for that stained water, try to eliminate everything else. and that's going to just by default put you in a lot better area and a lot better zone to start looking for fish.
Here's our next opportunity for hunting, and we back to Passion the Hunt. We're ping-ponging around here because we know we're short on time, and we want to get some information out of you. But before we get to open water, some guys and gals are going to be out blasting turkeys here pretty soon. And I know you've done some turkey hunting. I think you did a Passion for the Hunt episode out in the hills for some Miriams. What do you got for some tips here for some people heading in? Because a lot of people are really just kind of getting started on turkey hunting. It's become all the rage here these past 5 years, and we've got a robust population of turkeys here in the Midwest. Are you going to get out and do some turkey hunting here in the spring? And what are some tips?
You know, I really fell in love with turkey hunting. I love hunting turkeys. You know, I can't say that I'm a very good turkey hunter as far as offering, you know, any real tips, you know, as far as firsthand stuff that I've learned the hard way. You know, just in North Dakota, we have a handful of turkeys, and the joke was that you'd have better luck, you know, when they first introduced the turkeys out in the Dakotas, the old joke with the ranchers was you'd have a better chance asking the daughter out on a date than getting one of those turkeys shot.
And that's funny.
Flash forward 10 years, and you've got 50 turkeys standing on a silage all winter.
Yeah.
Off his picture window,
right.
They're chasing his cat around. These guys hate turkeys now, and they just beg people to shoot them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something that's kind of new. I mean, growing up, I never even heard of somebody hunting turkeys. The only time I ever even knew about it was if I watched some Southern Billy Bob on TV hunting turkeys.
Yeah.
I mean, we just, you know, had. And I tell you what, the last maybe 4 or 5 years, you know, we just started doing it, and some of it was just so we can get out in the woods in the spring. You know, it's a magical time. That it's just the birds are loud. It's just something about being alive at 4 a.m. out in the forest when you've been in the snow and in the winter all past 5-6 months.
Yeah.
And the smell of the earth and it just being outside that time of the year. And I kind of combine it with some deer scouting. I like to look for sheds and hopefully shoot a turkey. But, you know, our hunting is pretty straightforward. The turkeys roost in a particular area. We stay away from that. They come out in the meadows and the open spots, and we like to use decoys for them just to get a response. And, you know, when you get the right turkey on the right day in the right mood, I think you could kill them just a lot of different ways.
Fun.
That head changes from red to blue to pink to red. You know, they're going to, you know, they're just lovesick.
Lovesick, what a great segue. Jason Mitchell Outdoors Television, Passion for the Hunt, Fox Sports North, Devil's Lake on Jason Mitchell. Jason, thanks for joining us. Speaking of lovesick, you know, we haven't let our producer Mark ask you any questions on Man Crush Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll never hear the end of that.
All right, Mr. Mark, do you have any questions for Mr. Mitchell?
Well, Boomer gave me your phone number now, so I'm going to call you just about every day. When are we going to hang out? I just happen to be in North Dakota. Just kidding.
Oh, man. Well, Jason, thank you so much. I know Zep's going to close it out here, but hey, buddy, it was great hanging out the last 2 days, and I look forward to seeing you up at Ice Team U.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I know we've got you hanging out there along the side of the road, so get to someplace warm and fun and relax for the rest of the night. Jason Mitchell, thanks for taking some time for Ticket Outdoors tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
Happy hunting and fishing to Jason Mitchell.
Pretty cool stuff, so thank you, yeah.
Right. What a real dude, too, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why I've enjoyed, and I haven't watched much of Passion for the Hunt. I watched a little bit of the turkey hunt out in the Black Hills. That's why that popped into my head, plus we have, you know, turkey hunting season coming here quick. But when he talks about, you know, just, well, you know, I plugged in the boat and I picked up the rod that I laid down last year, a lot of the ways we do it, and, you know, when we get some people on, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm the worst hunter in the world. This guy's out there scouting. He's doing all this work, and he's got the right equipment. And heck, I just, you know, I don't even clean my shotgun.
Yeah.
I made that mistake last year. That'll never happen again.
Well, you know, the thing about it, too, and I was talking about his ham being frostbite, guys, it was damn gross. I mean, he was catching so many fish, he's lost feeling in his fingers. And you know what? He just kind of roughed through it. Can someone tell Tim Moore to shut the hell up over there and quit interrupting all of our show? Jesus, Tim.
Nonstop. I'm very terribly sorry.
All
right.
Well, and speaking of, we're starting with Jason Mitchell from Jason Mitchell Outdoors. We're going to wrap up tonight's program with Tim Moore from Tim Moore Outdoors. And is Thane going to make it in tonight? Do we know?
No, we're going to have Thane on probably here in a couple weeks to talk a little.
All right, sounds good.
Turkey.
So we've got a bookend of the show tonight with our TV guys, and in the middle we're going to talk deer. Yep. Yeah. One of my favorite topics as well.
Yeah.
When we come back with more to Tick It Outdoors, shoot up!
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
This guy is continuously failing drug tests. He has to be suspended because he's a loser. He's just an irresponsible mess.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Hey, it's Ben from Radioactive Sports. Join me Saturday from 11 to noon at the St. Paul Saints new stadium in Lower Town, St. Paul. Stop by Gloria's CHS Field for food, fun, beer, and prizes and your first chance to look around the new digs. Everyone will be entered to win four club seats for opening night. For more information and RSVP, visit saintsbaseball.com/pick-your-seat. That's saintsbaseball.com/pick-your-seat. So join me at CHS Field, the new home of the St. Paul Saints.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of the Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual Alumacash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's Alumacraft is the best deal on the water.
At Mills Fleet Farm, made in the USA is more than a label. It's the way we do business. A Roadrunner Supreme Power battery is $10 off with exchange. Touch up with Rust-Oleum Painter's Touch Spray Paint. 12-ounce cans, $2.99. Get your fishing tackle organized now with the Plano Hybrid Hip Stowaway Tackle Box. Just $39.99. And made in the USA almonds are on sale. 16 ounces, $5.99 at Mills Fleet Farm. Love it.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Pushing the buttons here. Zep with my wild card. Steve Struzinski, Boomer, Mark Lukey, our producer. Now he's run off.
I've got a microphone. Yeah, thanks a lot, pal. Thanks for putting me back on the air.
You're back on the air, my man. And I want to thank you for lining up all many of our guests.
You
our
bet.
Next guest here. Want to welcome, and I first read the news, I think it was in...
when he shot it?
No. The store where I read the story.
Probably the Outdoor News.
I do have some echo in this. Why do I all of a sudden have echo? I'm going to blame it on Stan. Everybody's heard the story. The black powder, whitetail, state record, non-typical, scored out at... Well, Stan, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. If you can put up with the echo, I'm going to figure out how to try and eliminate it, which means I'm probably going to hang up on you, but I don't want that to happen. Congratulations, man. That's... You're talking about a once-in-a-lifetime.
Yeah, no lie. It's just unbelievable. It's been quite an experience. Just still sometimes can't hardly believe it happened.
Yeah, it's. I'm going to hit a button right there. I don't know if that's going to help or not. But now, Stan, what was the non-typical score? What was the final score? Because I heard a 250, but that might have been a green score. Then I thought I heard a 248.
248 and 5/8 was the official score.
I don't know if I've even, has anything in Minnesota ever scored like that? Now, non-typicals, for people that don't know, and I think probably most of our listeners do know, non-typical is something that's got the extra points. You know those the ones that don't look normal to you? They've got, I don't know how technically it's described.
Like half the women you go out with.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They're non-typical.
Yeah.
But all trophies, by the way. You're going to get me into trouble.
Brian Zepp, our new judge, Sunday nights on Ticket Outdoors.
Stan Kredemacher, our guest here tonight. Now, walk us through the hunt here, how this ended up happening. A lot of us have read the story. We haven't had a chance to talk to you. Tell us how you ended up bagging this monster.
Well, it all started back in 2013. My nephews had heard that there was a big one in the area, but never really paid too much attention to it. They were referred to by a friend to go up to this state land for hunting pheasants on the last day of pheasant hunting season. And my nephews, Landon Kreidemacher and Brian Ruhoff, went up there, and they pretty much were just about done pheasant hunting. They thought, well, there's one more little pocket of woods, and they decided to walk that out. And Landon walked it out, and Brian set up on a post, and Landon seen just this huge deer take off. Didn't really know how many points it had or anything, but it was real heavily framed, and it just run off, just got a quick glimpse of him.
You know, and that's so, and you think about the big bucks, how do they get to be big bucks? And I talk about that with my dad when we go out hunting all the time. How do they get to be the big bucks? They're patient, they lay, they're in that, you know, last place that you're going to look, that everybody kind of gives up. And while we're done, we're not going to walk out that little piece. I can see right in there. There's nothing in there. Right. And then how many times have you walked in? I remember my grandpa, he's saying, just walk down there. I'm like, I can see down there. I'm sitting up on a high area on a hill looking down into a little grass patch with two dead trees. I said, I can see down there. I'm not going to walk down there. You know, you got to walk all the way down the hill and then come back up. Yeah. And he said, just walk it out. It's almost dark. And I walked down there and we kicked out a nice 8-point buck and I ended up bagging him. So that's to hunters what you just said there, that last little walk, kick out that last. So anyway, you kick him up, he takes off. Now what?
And they finish hunting. And then they decided, well, you know, he was a pretty big buck. So in March, Landon and his brother Layton went up there shed hunting. And they hunted, you know, shed hunted for quite a few hours and come up with one of the sheds. Decided to go back the next day and look again, and they kind of did a 200-yard circumference around that first shed and did come up with a second shed. So they had a match set. Figured these, you know, by their own estimate, that this deer was going to score over 200 inches.
Yeah. I mean, so, when you say that, over 200 inches, I don't know if I've seen an over 200. I'm sure I haven't. Yeah, not over 200. I can tell you a fishing story or two that I did, but I don't believe I ever have. So when you're talking about over 200 inches, you're in all the record books. And, I mean, that really gets guys' attention. That gets you thinking, how do we get him?
Hey, Stan, when they were doing the finding the sheds, was that 2013, the spring of 2013?
Spring of 2014.
Okay, 2014. Yes. All right, so they saw the deer, someone jumped the deer in 2013, and this is 2014 spring. All right.
And there are pictures for our listeners. We're looking at this online at, what is it, Zep, whitetailoverload.com?
Whitetailoverload.com. You'll find pictures of it everywhere. And as far as non-typicals go, we've seen weirder non-typical racks, certainly. And in fact, from this angle I'm looking at, you can't quite see into the brow tine area where it's all, where he tends to be, where he's very non-typical. But so you guys know the monster is out there. Now, what I love about this hunt is you've got to get through archery season.
You bet.
You've got to get through the deer opener. You've got a lot of season.
You've got to get through Highway 61 season.
Did you?
Yes.
Were you guys going out and hunting this monster? Did you name him?
No, they named him. I actually, the day they found the second shed, they came to my grandson's birthday party. And I asked them if they found anything, and they told me no.
It's like the Winter Carnival medallion. They're not going to tell anybody.
No, didn't see a thing.
and they told me the only reason they didn't tell me is because there were so many people in the room.
Fair enough.
I never asked them about it. I honestly only heard through the grapevine about this deer that they had the sheds from other people just through the grapevine. I never asked them again about it because I knew they wanted to be secretive. They had 27 trail cam pictures of it. And I never seen one of them until after I shot the deer.
Holy cow. They were, well, you know, God bless them. I mean, that's what you do. You find them and then you try and protect them. So they had, I imagine, been out bow hunting. They try to get them with the earliest possible opportunity at bow.
Yes. Landon and Layton especially are real heavy bow hunters, and those two hunted pretty heavy. Never seen them. Layton had them, and they never, at that point, weren't getting them on trail camera much anymore either.
Uh-oh.
One day, I think it was the second weekend, Layton went, I couldn't go hunting because he had to work, and that day he showed up during daylight hours at his stand on a trail camera.
And do you know if they were patterning him with pretty specific behavior? Are you showing up at the same places at the same time?
He was early in the summer, and then they lost track of him. I haven't seen him for a long time. As far as they know, they actually had, it was on state land, they had two cameras stolen, you know, they thought might happen, and they were a lot more concerned about the pictures that might be on the cameras than cameras. And then I think it was like mid-September, they did get them on a few pictures. And, you know, then they hadn't seen him much at all. And they hunted him pretty heavy bull. Gun season, they both went up there gun season. Didn't even go in the woods that day up there because there was so many vehicles in the parking lot and in that area that they thought, well, he's never going to withstand that pressure. And for safety reasons, they didn't even go in there.
So what you're saying is the word got out.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of other people knew about this deer, but we hadn't known a lot about it.
Can you imagine these guys that were on this deer with deer trail cams, a deer that's 200 inch
on public land.
Yeah. On public land. And for our listeners, we have an unbelievable story here with Stan, who shot basically the black powder Minnesota non-typical record. Way to go, Strew. Another good guess.
You bet.
Can you imagine, Zep, Strew, and I, if we were even on our private property, let's say on my private property, I had a deer that big, I would have a hard time keeping my mouth shut.
Well, we know you would have a hard time. You'd be the last person I'd let know.
Hey, Stan, when you had that opportunity to make that shot, I've never done black powder. I know you only get one shot.
Yep.
How far, what is the range for black powder? Number one question. Number two, how far was Mean Gene when you shot it? And how far was Mean Gene about away from where these guys first saw the deer when they were bow hunting?
Actually, the way the hunt went down is... We had hunted him once during the shotgun season with just a half a dozen guys and never seen him. And then my nephew decided that we would wait until the last weekend of the muzzleloader season, hoping that he'd be back in this area because there was corn and beans on top of the hill there and stuff. And they thought he'd be done chasing and maybe be back in that area again. So it was the last weekend of the muzzleloader season, and we set up this drive. And I had been in the same area in the shotgun season when they told me to sit. And Landon, when he walked to me that day, he said, you know, next time go up 100 yards further. Well, I had an extra guy, so I put a guy where I was, and then I went up the ravine 100 yards further. They had three walkers up on top of the hill, and they posted one on an old pond, and the other two walked out a finger of woods, and they kicked up this buck. He ran to the guy on the pond, and he took a shot at him and actually just creased the hair on his back and turned him back into the drive, or he would have been gone.
Man.
From there, he went through the hillside around the corner, and another guy had a bunch of does come by him. He took a shot at one of the does and missed, and the buck was following right behind them. And there again, I think he probably would have went around the hill if he wouldn't have shot at that.
Yeah,
hill.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so, no, continue on. I'm loving the story.
Anyway, so they come down into the bottom. There was a big flat at the bottom of the ravine, and I was on the other side of it from there. Heard all kinds of deer movement trashing through the middle of that, probably 100 yards away. I think they were kind of confused because of the shots and weren't sure just quite where to go. I heard a couple faint grunts. And caught my attention, and about 100 yards away, I caught a quick glimpse of horns. I said, well, that's a pretty nice buck, but I said, that's not a 200-inch deer. Lost sight of them for probably 2 to 5 minutes. They, you know, didn't see. I think they went up and just stood out of sight for a while. And then a little bit later, off to my left, about 60 yards from where I was posted against a tree, I seen some does moving through. And it was pretty thick, but I had one little area where I thought, well, I could probably get something in there. And I waited for the horns to come in that certain spot. And I kind of pulled up on him, and I thought, I'm going to gut shoot him. He's moving too fast. So I kind of pulled back for a second. And I think what happened, the does in front of him bunched up crossing the ditch.
Stopped him for you.
Made him pause right in that spot. So I quick put up and pulled the trigger. I set my gun down immediately, thought, you know, I can't shoot again anyway.
Yep.
Watched out the other side to see if he come out. Never seen him come out, so I thought, by gosh, I got him.
Did you hear that? How far away was that shot?
About 60 yards.
Okay, 60 yards, and did you hear that thunk, you know, that thump?
Well, I didn't even hear that, but I just, you know, he didn't come out the other side that I seen.
Yeah.
And
he shot it right away after your shot. Yeah,
and I put my gun down, watched, and he didn't come out, so I reloaded my gun. Walked over there. I didn't find any blood. I could see where he kicked up dirt taking off. And about that time, some of the walkers come down the ravine. And I said, I hit a pretty decent one. I said, he's not 200 inches, but I said, I don't find any blood. Well, they were on the other side of the ditch, and they said, well, we got blood here. I told my nephew, Leighton, I said, just leave him lay and bed down. And he didn't listen. He took off after.
You know, Stan Krautemacher, we're talking about his state record black powder whitetail, non-typical, walking us through the hunt here. He just hit him, and they found some blood. But we were talking early in the show about, you know, dad saying wait this long, and young men just can't wait. It's 1,001, 1,002, and they're on the hunt. So Leighton takes off.
Yeah, he took off trailing it. And I told him, I said, just leave it lay. He didn't listen. My son, Ryan, and his brother-in-law, Sheldon Lumen, came. And Ryan says, we're going to go across or cut down to the bottom so if he crosses the road, we see where he went. You know, and in the meantime, the guy who shot at doe come down, and we were standing there talking at where I shot, and we both said, you know, it's not that big one they're talking about. And all of a sudden we heard hooping and hollering, and those three guys kind of all came together right in the bottom of a dry run, and there he laid. They
and
actually
that,
were ready to give up trailing him because the blood was disappearing. We're just going to lay him and then change the plan, and then they found him.
And at that point, you don't, and that's, I remember, I've been out with four or five guys, and we've named a deer, and we hunted it for a season or two, and you don't know if it's back there or
right.
if you're going to get back to it again. And we didn't have a lot of trail cams back then, but just as long as somebody in your party, especially, you talk about this public land, it's like a lottery. It could have gone to the right person at the right time, any one of a number of different groups, but you, when you know you've got it in your group, it's everybody's trophy.
It is, and you know, I would never even been hunting.
Names shows up in the record book.
I see it with 12 other names behind it because these guys were all a part of it, you know, and I just can't thank them enough, and I make them a part of everything. You know, we had the scoring, we invited them all, they were all there but one. Everything we do with this deer, we invite all of them to be with it.
That's amazing.
You know, Stan, it was probably a good thing at the time you didn't realize how big that deer was because, you know, when I'm in the deer stand now, even if I'm shooting a doe, I still get that deer fever, you know, where you can hear your heart and your ears.
Boom, yeah. Boom,
boom, boom, after you pull the trigger and you got a hit, then it's on. You know,
yeah.
It's just going to start beating.
Yeah. But you just get that excitement and that and the passion is just overtaking you. I can't imagine if you would have known how big that deer was when you took that first shot, if that might have changed things a little bit, too, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought of that right away, too. You know, it's better off that I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I really didn't think it was him. I knew it was a decent one, but, you know, if I would have thought it was him, I might have choked on it.
Hey, Stan, you were the gentleman who shot at the doe. If he was in your party and knew what was going on and what your target was, why would he shoot at that doe?
We were all hunting does. We actually, and this they tease me about this all the time. Yet when we got out of the pickup to do the drive, this was actually our third drive of the day in the area. But on the first drive, my son Ryan said to me, he said, "Dad, if you're going to shoot at a doe, make sure this buck isn't behind her."
Yeah.
As we were walking away from the pickups, I told one of the guys, I said, "We're wasting our time. We're not even going to see this deer." I said, "I'll bet you $20." And this guy said back to me, "I'll bet you 50 we're not going to see it."
Wasn't it the last day, too?
Second last day.
Okay, wow. So you're thinking, all right, you got to get some tags filled. You got to get some meat in the freezer.
Yeah.
Boy, how sick would that have made you if you had plugged the dough and watched him just come running out
of there? Oh, boy.
Well, you know, I think back to last year, I think I hunted 2 weeks, you know, with a muzzle loader. All you have to do is take the primer out, and you leave your powder and your shot in the gun, you know, and put it back in the pickup. That's what you do. I did that last weekend for 2 weekends, and I come to shoot at a doe, and my gun didn't fire off. You know, muzzleloaders don't always fire.
That's that black powder. I think when I go out to hunt the big boy, I'm not doing the black powder.
Yeah, okay.
But you can do all those different seasons, and for some of our people that might not know, you get a much broader season with black powder like you do with bow.
Oh, and we have so much fun doing it, you know.
Yeah.
I've been black powder hunting, you know, and been on stand like that where, you know, you got does running past you, you know, two, three at a time, and they just keep coming, and you're trying to reload that gun. That's exciting.
Well, I tell you what, Stan, I remember the first time my dad taught me about black powder hunting, and you know you got that one shot. And you remember, Dad, that stand we were working on the north end there, and I had that nice 8-pointer out in the swamp, and Boy, I didn't pull the trigger because, you know, I had open sights and I just didn't feel comfortable with it. And that black powder hunting, if you're used to, you know, high power hunting with that rifle, appreciating hunting, you really get that with a black powder because you don't have that scope and you've got one shot.
That's exactly right. You know, and it's what's really kind of neat about the black powder, too, is, you know, most of the time if you're out hunting, we can only hunt with shotguns here, but if we're out hunting with shotguns in a group and somebody shoots once, they more than likely got a deer. You know, when somebody shoots with a black powder, you don't know until you walk up and ask them whether they got one.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, Stan, quick question before we go to break. We've had a lot of talk about antler restrictions in the state and people, you know, maybe passing on spikes or whatnot. What do you think, as the gentleman who got this 200 and almost 50-inch non-typical black powder potential Minnesota record, how do you think the rack got so big on this deer?
Oh, I think the antler restriction really helps. I know a couple different guys who were you know, pumping mineral in the area. That didn't help. And I think they're somewhat, when they get this big, they're somewhat of a freak of nature.
Yeah.
You know, not every buck is going to get this.
Well, you look at some trail cam pics, like I was looking on that website of him just back in August, and I know their bodies are a little bit smaller, but, I mean, it's an unusually, freakishly large rack, even for the size of this deer, on those trail cam pics back in Velvet in August. Stan, we've run out of time. We're, in fact, over time, but what an amazing story. Congratulations to you and your group. You'll be telling it and laughing about it for a lifetime. Stan Kautemacher.
Yes, we've had a blast with it.
Thanks for sharing your story with Ticket Outdoors.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Stan.
Thanks, Stanley.
All right, bye. All right, Dave, we got to get the break. When we come back, Mark Hirsch talking. We're going to keep up the deer theme. United Blood Trackers using dogs to track deer.
The best of high school basketball can be heard on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
A long three. The buzzer is good.
Wally Langfellow brings you play-by-play from the biggest games.
We have the Class 4A championships covered. The semifinals are Thursday night at 6 p.m., and the finals are Saturday at 8 p.m., live from the Target Center.
High school basketball, presented by Minnesota Score Magazine.
Job and good! And the time ball going in!
On Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
At Mills Fleet Farm, made in the USA is more than a label. It's the way we do business. A Roadrunner Supreme Power Battery is $10 off with exchange. Touch up with Rust-Oleum Painter's Touch Spray Paint. 12-ounce cans, $2.99. Get your fishing tackle organized now with the Plano Hybrid Hip Stowaway Tackle Box, just $39.99. And made in the USA almonds are on sale. 16 ounces, $5.99 at Mills Fleet Farm.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They'll grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you and then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DanSouthsideMarine.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Pretty cool story, you know. You wonder if you'll ever have a story like that, you know. Boom, you're the younger guy here. You ever going to have one of those big honking Boone and Crockett trophy stories?
You know, not last year. Last year I had that nice 8-pointer that I got at the end with about 10 minutes left to go. But the year before...
That's how you describe an 8-pointer. Nice.
You know, it's nice.
Nice 8-pointer.
Nice 8-pointer. But the year before, Zep and Stru, I had... I wear glasses to help me see, you know, early morning or in the evening. And I had my glasses off towards the evening 2 years ago. And I was sitting out there and I was looking over the field of these young grown pines that were coming up behind me. And I heard a little crack. And I had turned around and looked, and I saw like five doe, but, you know, I could just see the bodies. And then right to the left of them, I didn't have my eyeglasses on, and about 50 yards away, I saw this abnormal frickin'
rat. Way up past the years.
Huge, yeah. Right? And I shot, I think the one I have on the wall is now is 140, 150, 21-inch spread
nothing
between
wrong with
times.
That.
Nothing wrong with that. And this buck was absolutely huge. And I remember going, holy beep. And I took my .30-06 and I tried to spin around. And he whiffed me, winded me. And
wheeled
he
around.
Wheeled around. And he was in the brush after that. And for me to be able to see that rack on that deer without my glasses on at 50 yards away towards the east, I thought, that would have been the one, guys. If you were to ask me the big one, he gets bigger every year, too.
I was at the end of a shelter belt, and I was hunting a valley out in front of me. And the deer were constantly moving across to a water source. And that morning, and I thought, okay, and Dad kept saying, there's a grass field behind me. And it's one of those grass fields out in the Dakotas where it's chest high. And he said, keep watching that grass field behind you. Make sure you turn around and look at that grass field every once in a while. He goes, they bed down out there. And he goes, and you'll see them get up in the morning. And he goes,
yeah.
He goes, there's a big one around here. But I was so focused on the traffic and those does and young buck moving through that valley. I didn't pay attention. So I stood up and they got all through and I stood up. And I heard something, and I turned around, and by the time I got turned around, and he bounced out through the grass and stopped up on a hilltop, he's over a half mile away, and all I can see is this spread way out past the ears. And I just, I threw my scope up. I was there at a corner post,
yep.
So I threw my scope up in the post, not to shoot it that far, obviously, but to get a better look. And even at that, I just knew he was a monster, and you never saw him again, and somebody got him.
You know, that's the special thing about deer hunting is I think all of us have had that case or instance where you've had that quick glance of a monster, beautiful buck, and that's what keeps us going back out there.
We talked at the beginning of the show about plugging one, and the worst thing that can happen to a hunter is they get away. Our next guest is Mark Harsh, United Blood Trackers, and they use dogs to track deer. Mark, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Thank you.
Thanks for your patience.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
We always run late. You know how guys start talking about hunting and fishing, how it goes. And we've got a clock here, but I'm not sure we're always using it like we should. So thanks for your patience with us tonight, Mark. United Blood Trackers. When Stru brought this to my attention, I thought, well, yeah, sure. I mean, why not? We've all lost deer. And why not get the dogs on it and go out and find the deer? Boy, that'd make our life a little easier. Some guys will say, well, that's still part of the hunt. I disagree. I mean, once that deer gets out there and you can't find it, just get the deer. You want the harvest. You don't want to leave it lay. So, Mark, tell us about United Blood Trackers.
Well, United Blood Trackers was formed a while ago by a bunch of people that were basically dachshund enthusiasts. Yes, I said dachshund enthusiasts.
Well,
now we've
ones?
Grown to a little over 200 members that we use. We use anywhere from smooth coat dachshunds all the way up to the big dog like I use, the bloodhound.
Okay.
Yeah. Why dachshunds? I mean, I think of dachshunds when I think of this.
Oh, I think of grandma's dachshund.
Yeah.
Well, there's a... if you ever held a dachshund going compared to a bloodhound, you got 15, 20 pounds compared to, like, my dog weighs 95 pounds.
Yeah.
So she can pull you up and down the hills, and I track a lot in Buffalo and Trempealeau County, some pretty hilly stuff, and it makes me, I'm a 48-year-old individual, and it makes me look I'm in shape, especially when I track with some of these younger individuals.
Yeah.
Did you just say Buffalo County?
Sure. Big Buck County.
The Buffalo County of big bucks in Wisconsin?
Yes, but you know what? These dogs, we don't care, or they don't care if they're does or little eight-pointers or big, 160, 170-inch deer. They just want to go out and track, and the reward is they get to chew on the deer for a few minutes.
that's a pretty fair reward. Now, Mark, Stru was telling me, you were telling me this isn't legal in every state.
Only 28 states, I believe, have it legal. Am I right there, Mark?
It's 28 or 29, with Kansas just become the latest to fully legalize it this past hunting season.
What's the beef here?
Yeah,
you've shot it. And are they pushing deer? Yeah, you're
pushing deer.
They think, are you using it? They think to hunt.
Exactly. A lot of hunters they're in disagreement with each other. They say that if you bring a dog on the land, since it all stems from the wolf, that the deer will disappear from the land and they won't come back.
Right.
Which I watched land that I've I live on a farm here in Wisconsin. I've run live tracks during the summer, and deer come back. I can see them on a trail camera the very next day.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if I go to that, that you bring a dog out on the property. It's one thing to bring a dog out on the property with you. It's another thing to have it habitate out there or to run in packs. I think deer aren't bright, but they're not that stupid.
And, you know, as we grouse hunt our land up north a lot. You're not necessarily...
You don't just deer hunt a piece of property. Usually upland birds or something else you're hunting on it.
But now on the flip side of that, if you were taking the opposing view and not saying I am, when I'm running my Springer Sugar out there chasing grouse, she's just basically going for the grouse. We've weaned her off to try to get on a deer trail with the help of some power steering, you know. On the flip side of that, if you're running these type of dogs on a property, I don't think, is it fair to say, Mark, that they're not necessarily going after grouse? I mean, they're specifically going after deer scent.
Well, we train our dogs. We start out with when they're pups, and when you wean them off of it, the blood, and then we have what these really funky shoes that we'll put a deer leg on each one. And we'll start a track off with that. So every time you step, it leaves a single hoof print of that specific deer, and that's what we train them on. Because obviously, if there was blood out there, you could follow. You wouldn't need us, but we train the dogs just to follow that particular scent. Because every deer, and just like every human, has their own individual scent, and that they can just single scent that particular deer.
You know, Mark, I'm looking. Is your website unitedbloodtrackers.org?
Yes.
Wow, I'm looking at this, guys, and it's a pretty cool little website you guys have. From find a tracker, type in there. But I'm looking at your board of directors, and wow, Mark, I don't know if we gave you the proper introduction, because Zep, when I'm looking at their board of directors, they have a guy from Reading, PA, a guy from Burney, New York, a guy from Maine, Georgia, Louisiana. You guys are a national program.
Yes, we are. It started out with John Denney. He wrote the book on it, basically, Tracking Dogs for Finding Wounded Deer. And he's basically the one who introduced the German wired-haired. If you were stopped by the booth or walked around the booth this past weekend, they had a couple smooth coat there and a couple wired-haired dachshunds there. And Friday and Saturday, for a while, there was two Bavarian mountain hounds there also.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned when you were talking about the border, Pennsylvania, Reading, Maine, Georgia, I'm not as familiar with, but Buffalo County, Wisconsin, we're talking about heavily wooded areas. These aren't prairie areas where, you know, you might have a little bit. So, I mean, I imagine a lot of folks lose deer in those areas. But to play devil's advocate, I'm starting to think about it now and think about, okay, you've got out to a particular area, and when you run these dogs out there, are they making a lot of noise? Are they, because I could see where they might run some deer out of the area, and it might take those deer a couple of days or two to get back into the area. So now we've gone out and we searched the deer, and now we sort of flush this area for the rest of this weekend hunt. What do you think about that, Mark?
Well, I had one particular track last year. I told the guy individually, because my dog is basically coming to her own. Mind you, she's a bloodhound. You know all the, you know, the stories of them. My dog, I can't really talk for too many other ones, which I don't think the dachshunds, too many of these dogs howl. Like, say, bear dogs, they have the typical howl when they're chasing a bear.
Yeah.
Mine, we had stopped to talk, and I told this gentleman that before, if we're on it and we have to stop and talk about what our next plan of action is going to be, and she's on it, she's going to howl like you never heard before.
Yeah.
Well, we stopped on this ridgeline, and she was howling like crazy, and it turned out we were 50 yards from the darn deer. And so...
Well, I wonder, you know, I remember a particular buck I knocked down and, you know, slung the old rifle over the shoulder and walking up there very nonchalant. I got about 10 or 15 yards away, and he popped up and wheeled around and charged me. I was able to just get my rifle up to get all sorts of nice nicks on it as it locked in with the rack. But do these, I mean, you get a big salty buck out there that's wounded, or but maybe you shot him in the rear end or something like that. He's still got plenty of fight left in him. Do these dogs ever get a tangle? I'm thinking a little dachshund, and that buck wheels around with those horns, he's going to pitch that dog through the goalpost.
Yes, there are actually a couple states that that do allow you just to, so as soon as you get out there, because what would happen is you would bring me to the shot site where you shot the deer, and then you basically would find a hoof print or a little spot of blood or hair. And some of these states down in the southeast, I believe Georgia is one of them, South Carolina, they just let the dogs loose and they bay them up.
Right.
As long as it's legal shooting hours, they can dispatch the deer.
And for our listeners, bay them up means they kind of keep them contained till you get there and can finish them off. So now with United Blood Trackers, I'm sure I'm kind of new to this, Mark, but I suppose our listeners are as well. Are you available for hire? I couldn't find my deer. I spent the night. I went out the next day. I couldn't find it. I get on UnitedBloodTrackers.org to find out if there's a tracker in my area. Is it one of those deals?
Yes. Everybody's a little different. Some do it by donation. Some people charge, you know. Yeah. Like me, I go within 100 miles of Eau Claire, Wisconsin on the weekends. And then, you know, it all depends what our typical call is. 12 to 24 hours old, I would guess.
That's what I was going to ask.
You know, what's pretty amazing, guys, is I know we got to wrap it up. Here's up. All right, true or false, guys, kind of fun for our listeners to write into our Facebook page at facebook.com/theticketoutdoors, and maybe we can give away a T-shirt or something if you can get a few of these.
Don't look at me. I don't have any T-shirts.
Yeah. Can we give away our bumper stickers?
Yeah.
All right, Zepp and Strew, I'm going to name a few states. I'm looking at states that are legal or not legal, and you tell me if it is legal to track these deer with a bloodhound or not. Nebraska.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
We got it covered.
Ready? South Dakota.
Now it sounds like a trick question, so I'm going to say no.
Yes.
Yes, you can use a dog in South Dakota.
I had no idea.
All right, and last but least, let's go with Illinois.
Well, I know you're going with a no, so no.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Damn you. Oh.
Damn it, boys.
All right, do I have to give my T-shirt back?
One more for Mark.
Tell us about a blood training workshop.
What's coming up?
Say that again, please.
The blood tracking workshops. What's coming up?
They just had one in Texas. It rotates every year. Last year was in North Carolina. The year before that was in Wisconsin, down by Dodgeville.
Cool stuff. How do we find you online then?
Just go to United Blood Trackers, find a tracker, and you'd click on Wisconsin, and then you'd find my name, Mark Harsh, by Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Just give me a ring, and as long as you're inside Wisconsin, my area, I'll gladly come out and help you find your deer if it's down.
Name's Mark Harsh, H-A-R-S-H, just like it sounds, UnitedBloodTrackers.org. Mark, thank you for being our guest tonight. We appreciate it. Fascinating. And now I kind of want to be out on one of these when the dogs track down a deer.
Kind of cool.
The only bad thing about tracking is if you get good at it, you don't have time to hunt yourself.
I can see whether that's a good problem to have. All right, Mark, thank you very much, man.
You bet. Take care, sir.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. This is kind of new to me. You think you've heard it all or experienced it all, and I didn't even know we could do it in South Dakota. We never have. But I'm definitely going to find out some more about it and go to their website, UnitedBloodTrackers.org.
You know, I don't know if we got quite the answer I was looking for there, but, you know, the point I was trying to get is I'm running Sugar through the field, and she's honestly one of the best bird dogs I've had of the labs we've had. She's really focused on that bird, and we spend a lot of time training to do that, like other upland bird hunters do. If you're running one of these dogs through your woods, the point I was trying to make is they're not focused on upland birds.
No.
They're focused on deer. So,
that's
what I was saying. So when they go in there,
are they focused on the wounded deer then? Or?
Well, how the hell are they going to tell the difference? That smells like a good deer.
They said every deer has its own scent. So if you go to the shot site, it should track just that deer. That's what he's saying.
They've already thought about this. They've got guys in New England doing this for the last 200 years.
Perception is reality. And the perception is United Blood Trackers. If it had a different name, I think they might be accepted more, and people might want to learn more about
it. Like the word
not,
blood?
Yeah, well, it's not United Blood Trackers. They were tracking deer, and here's what's happening.
But I do agree that as a hunter, and we struggle with this sometimes when we battle hunting rights or whatnot, hunters do a lot more for conservation and care about our kills because we harvest them.
Of course.
Them, and nothing more than do we want to lose that deer. So if this is a way...
We care a lot more about those animals than the animal rights activists. So
if this is a way to help...
Smoke it. Wham! Oh, that's right. They wouldn't smoke either.
Right? Yeah. But if this is a way, I guess, Zep, for us to get those deer back, I would support it, you know? We you just got to make it be tricky on public land.
I've got my 80 acres out there, and the guy next door got a hold of Mark Harsh at UnitedBloodTrackers.org, and he brings his dogs out there, and they're running out there the next day. I mean, is there a gentleman's time that you do it? Are you out there?
Right.
We couldn't find it that night, and it got dark, so we got the blood trackers out. And they're running in the section next to me, yep. And the dogs are blaring. And well, who knows?
Maybe I wonder if they've ever tracked it to their neighbor's barn.
Yeah.
that would be great.
But you know what? In all seriousness, for our listeners out there who love to deer hunt, and Dad and I talk about this all the time, look at the way we use four-wheelers and ATVs now. When you run those on state land during deer season, there are only certain times you're supposed to run.
Nothing will drive my old man crazier than the running the four-wheelers around on a hunting morning or something like that. Guys, we've got a guest here, Tim Moore. He dozed off. We're going to go wake him up. Tim Moore outdoors in studio when we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
When our water heater broke down last month, it took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. Just call 800-711-6816. That's 800-711-6816.
How strong is Allegra D?
It's my congestion's out of my way strong. Even in the park, playing with my dogs. Go fetch, Bosley.
Allegra D, a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine, plus a powerful decongestant that starts relieving your toughest allergy symptoms in under 1 hour.
Allegra D is breathing free for 24 hours strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra D, strong relief for your allergy symptoms. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
Holland is hiring in the Minneapolis area. Full-time local and regional drivers and part-time dock workers are wanted immediately. Full-time drivers must be at least 21 years of age with 1 year or 50,000 miles experience and have hazmat and tanker endorsement. Part-time dock work is available also. Must be 18 years of age, have a valid driver's license, and be ready and able to work Monday through Friday. Come down to Holland's Minneapolis terminal located at 11220 Zion Street Northwest in Coon Rapids from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to fill out an application or apply online at hollandregional.com/careers. Full-time drivers are provided company-paid health insurance after probation. That's right, free health insurance for the family. Again, Holland's Minneapolis terminal is looking to hire full-time drivers for local and regional work and part-time dock workers. Apply at the terminal from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 11220 Zion Street in Coon Rapids. Your direction awaits at hollandregional.com/careers. Holland's an equal opportunity, affirmative action employer, minorities, females, persons with disabilities, protected veterans.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station.
Stuck in your car and missing the kid you used to be? Remember those days before traffic, deadlines, and all that responsibility? Well, it's time to get that kid back by opening up a refreshing memory today with Killabrew Root Beer. Minnesota-made Killabrew old-fashioned root beer and cream soda. Grab your own super cold aluminum bottle available in the cooler section of your favorite Holiday Station store. Killabrew. It's how memories are made and legends are created.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back, boys and girls. Don't forget, 6 to 8 Sunday mornings, we rebroadcast this. If you're one of those folks that likes the podcast, 105theticket.com. Podcast will be up the next couple of days. We've had Mark Harsh, United Blood Tracker, Stan Krautemacher, talking about his new state record for black powder with that 248.58-inch beauty, non-typical.
That's amazing.
And Jason Mitchell, we had him on the front end of the show.
Man Crush Wednesday.
Another big TV star here, Tim Moore. Tim Moore Outdoors in studio. Tim, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Thank you, Zep.
Hey,
good to
Timmy.
Be here.
Yeah, good man. So the last episode I watched was on the website, and it was Ticket Outdoors. Well, tell us about Ticket Outdoors. That's my show, or our show. Did I say my again?
Well, it's on 105.
Freudian slip.
Whoopsie. Shrill never let me live that down. Tim Moore Outdoors. Tell us about the show.
The show is an educationally based fishing show.
Yeah.
We're in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And there's really not a lot in New England for people to watch that's been filmed in New England. Occasionally, you know, guys from even from the Midwest will come out there and film, but we don't have much. So when we
that
watch
surprises
a fishing
me
show,
a little bit. I mean, it's ice fishing out there, that goes back to before our time, certainly.
Yep, and you know, it's expensive. That's what it boils down to. It's expensive to film in New England, and that's why people don't come.
Why is it more expensive there than in the Midwest? I mean, is it fees and licensing and
travel costs? I mean, you know, getting there, getting your equipment there.
Everything's more. I was born in PA, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I have a lot of family back there in the New England area and Maine, and everything's more expensive back east. It just seems.
It is, yeah. That's why I come to Minnesota so often, because it's so much cheaper here.
Right, exactly. You don't hang out with the clam guys at all, do you?
Not much, no.
Go ahead, Boone.
So, Tim, tell our listeners a little bit about Tim Moore's Outdoor TV. I know it's an educational piece. Tell our listeners kind of how you get out there and what you do and how long you've been doing it.
Well, the show, we began the show in the fall, last fall. We actually were crowdfunded to buy the equipment and the editing software. And
what's that mean?
Crowdfunding is where you raise the money, you set a goal, raise money online, people can pledge money, and they only pay if you meet your goal. And I actually exceeded my goal.
So that's, we've heard of a couple of different ones now. I forget the one we had. Kickstarter is one. There's another one out there. But it's when you say crowdfunding, that's the name of it.
I used Kickstarter, yeah.
Oh, you did? All right, yep. But it's called crowdfunding, but you use Kickstarter.
Yep,
as one
it was
of the,
a Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, right, the Kickstarter campaign. So there were people in New England, New Hampshire, in that area that said, yeah, we want an outdoor show. We're going to help this guy get something on for us here that represents us.
Yep, I had I even had pledges from Canada. There were a lot of pledges from people I know.
Well, they have Canadian dollar. They can pledge $100. What is that, like $4? That's nothing.
Some from Canada. Really from all over the country. I wanted to raise $2,500 to buy some equipment. I raised $3,600.
Nice.
So we bought really, you know, better equipment.
Got the good stuff.
Yep.
So you don't have to pay him back?
No, the way it works is
they get an autographed picture of Strew.
Each pledge level has certain rewards that go with it. And so, you know, people got, you know, maybe a pack of my signature lures signed. You know, certain amounts. We have three executive producers for a year based on their pledge amounts. Yep, my whisperers. And, you know, so it's based on how much you pledged. And so that was part of it. And then it was really just an investment in having a New England-based fishing show that people wanted to see, a New England-based fishing show.
So what was the biggest pledge you got, Timmy?
$1,200. Actually, one of my backers, the campaign had stalled about halfway through, and one of my backers, it was a 30-day campaign, one of my backers announced that he would match dollar for dollar every pledge from that moment on.
That's wonderful.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, how
sure
can you tell?
Hell wasn't true.
It wasn't me. No, how can you tell? You've been on for about 6-7 months right now. How can you tell how many viewers are watching and are you growing? What's the response?
Yep. Well, we publish them on YouTube. Seacoast Guide, as I can find, or you just do a search, Tim Moore Outdoors on YouTube. We can track views per episode. Our first episode went out in November. It's got almost 4,500 views.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep. And some have done better than others. You know, we put out a pike one that wasn't really educational, but it was me catching about a 43-inch pike on my Whisperer, and it was the end of a open water season long quest to catch a pike over 20 pounds, and so we had it on camera and I wasn't not going to
43 inch pikey. Jiggy would be digging that.
Yes.
So I just forgot what I was going to ask.
Well, then I'll say something. You think about it.
Because
I've watched four, I think, and I watched the most recent a couple of days ago. And what I like about what you do is it's real world stuff, and if there's some downtime, you're talking about teaching people, because this is you're not going to be catching fish every 15 seconds. It's all there is to it.
Right.
But one thing I learned from this guy that even you didn't teach me, Mr. Boomer, is that you went back and 5 miles in a snowmobile back to some kind of a pond, and I don't know how many acres was that, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. It was a tiny pond.
Okay. And
you could throw a stone across it.
And to catch nice crappies. But it got dead there for about 10, 15, 20 minutes. Nothing's happening. You were fishing with jigs, and then all of a sudden you switched to a spoon because you said the water was darker, and all of a sudden the spoon would displace the water more as you're jigging to attract more a fish, right? What's happening here? That's Boomer.
It's trying to get an episode
out. Anyway, so that's
Boomer's
cool.
doing some show prep during the interview.
He's fishing with a jig, and it's dark water. The fish have to be closer to notice that jig. You took a spoon, displaced more water, all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, when somebody watches one of my episodes, I want them to feel like it's possible to repeat what I did.
Yeah.
You know, for anybody. And one of our episodes is Crappy Basics for Any Water. We didn't catch big fish in that episode, but we covered some basic tactics that anybody could use to catch crappie in any water that held crappie.
You know, and there's so many different levels of how people, you know, attack a different sport or approach it, rather, maybe is a better word. But, you know, I go out and I go fishing, and I know the Boomer wants to chase the monsters and get on the big ones. I want to catch something. I don't want to just, I'd rather catch 20 than one big one, you know. I just want some action out there. I want to be out there. I want something hitting the line.
You're more of a quantity guy.
I'm a quantity over quality guy in every area and aspect of my life.
You should come white perch fishing with me then.
I'd love to sometime. As I watch the shows on YouTube, this is what I really liked, and that's why I asked you off the air, who edits them? Because they're rock and roll. They're cool. You know, we got it. Everybody uses country music. We've got blues music here for hours, and it's pretty straight ahead when they edit it and they do the swipe and the whole thing. But you're going slow motion, and it's rock and roll, and it's cool music. And just right away, I was into just the editing and the way you kind of put the shows together.
Yeah, I do all my own editing, all the post-production I do myself. I learned actually.
There it goes. Yeah. Right. And the auger's just working in slow motion. It's rocking, man. It's rock and roll.
Boomer, please. So I actually taught myself to edit on Windows stock software. And then
Somebody said Boomer out in the hall.
Cheapers, creepers.
What takes, I mean, because you've got some editing. You're not just putting it up there and going with a simple cut edit and a swipe or whatever like that. You're kind of getting into it, going slow motion and putting some rock and music in there. Does that take you a long time to, much work as it is actually filming it?
Sometimes more. We just listen to Jason talk about, you know, how much work post-production is sometimes. We'll go out and film. There are times, my episodes are, we keep them under 15 minutes. We shoot for 10. We very rarely make it 10. I usually end up about 13 minutes. And so we get 13 minutes worth of footage in about an hour and a half.
Tim Moore Outdoors, wow. The shows are on YouTube. What's the website? TimMooreOutdoors.com. Never mind, I was just on it. And so was Boomer, apparently, on his phone. Let's take a break here, guys. Make one up and come back and talk more with Tim Moore.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Coming back into the corner, and Kevin Harvick hasn't given up yet, but the leader is Jeff Gordon.
Will Kevin Harvick continue his streak of top two finishes? Find out Sunday during the Camping World 500, live from Phoenix International Raceway, Sunday at 1:30 p.m.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family-owned can make for you.
At Mills Fleet Farm, made in the USA is more than a label. It's the way we do business. A Roadrunner Supreme Power battery is $10 off with exchange. Touch up with Rust-Oleum Painter's Touch Spray Paint. 12-ounce cans, $2.99. Get your fishing tackle organized now with the Plano Hybrid Hip Stowaway Tackle Box, just $39.99. And made in the USA almonds are on sale. 16 ounces, $5.99 at Mills Fleet Farm.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it. Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you and then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan's Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DansSouthsideMarine.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.
The Ticket. Ticket Outdoors, Sunday morning, 6 to 8. 105theticket.com for the podcast. TimMooreOutdoors.com. Go to YouTube, type in Tim Moore Outdoors as well. That's another way to do it. That's where you're going to find the shows. Tim, what was that? Jeez, was that a bomb going off somewhere? I got my headphones way too loud for that. Was that Boomer over
there? Yeah, that was Boomer.
Yeah, I always, everybody's like, imagine your microphones are right there in about the minute. Boomer's like down here. That's where I put him, right in there somewhere. That guy has got some volume. I'm talking about it.
It's enthusiasm. We like that around here.
Let's talk some fishing.
Absolutely. Tim, before we get on to some white perch and world records and all that fun stuff, do you have aspirations to have a TV show on a network back there? Is that something you've talked about?
That's the goal, whether it happens or not. Yeah, we're looking at production companies right now to film a pilot and pitch to certain networks. We haven't decided to settle on a network or networks, but
you must have some sort of sports network, like we have Fox Sports North or the Sportsman's Channel, I guess, is a national. That's a cable channel. Do you have something like that back there? You can.
Yep, Sportsman's Channel, the Outdoor Channel, Comcast Sportsnet.
Tim, tell our listeners a little bit about some of the partnerships you have with New Hampshire Game and Fish. I think this is pretty cool, Zep Markenstrew, that as he's doing these YouTube channels, Tim also is a guest speaker at like the Bass Pro Shops out there, different sporting good events or sports shows like our Blaine Hardwater show, their sports shows. Tim's a featured speaker. But tell our listeners a little bit about some of the partnership production that you're doing with New Hampshire Game and Fish.
Yeah, you know, I'm really, really lucky to have a very close working relationship with New Hampshire. They call on me to write articles. They call on me to do seminars. And they have their own television show that airs in New Hampshire called New Hampshire's Wildside TV. And I think I think it was my fourth episode with them. We did a white perch episode last week before I left to come out here. So I'm really fortunate I get a lot of exposure because all of their episodes end up on their YouTube channel as well.
So you put the horse before the cart, and by that I mean you're not a guy who loves to fish that thought, hey, I'm just going to start filming myself and put it on YouTube. I mean, you're a professional fisherman, and by that I mean, we were talking off the air, you're a full-time guide. I mean, this is something you've been committed to. This is your lifestyle. And then somewhere along the line said, let's bring a camera along.
Yeah, I just celebrated 10 years guiding, and I recently went full time, which is scary.
Yeah, it is.
You know, because winters are always great for me. I'm super busy in winter, especially this year. I lost count on how many ice fishing trips I've done on Lake Winnipesaukee. But spring's a little hairy. I'm a kayak fishing guide, and you know, that's a growing sport.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, there's always the what ifs. What if things slow down?
Right.
Right, we've had the kayak fish. That is another one of those, and you talk about bow fishing. We've talked about, well, I guess turkey hunting is a bit more traditional or conventional, but that kayak fishing, and we had, I can't remember the name of the organization, a few
Minnesota Kayak Organization.
Thank you very much. That one's growing and sounds fascinating to me because you talk about, now when you guide that, I mean, I like that one because it's just you out there. There's no motor. It's peaceful. You can get into some really shallow areas.
Not always peaceful. I guide for big fish.
Yeah.
It gets pretty, northern pike and striped bass. You get a 35, 40 inch striped bass in a kayak. It's nothing.
Yeah.
We got people fishing from that. We got that young gal from Ontario. What's her name?
Ashley Ray.
She loves to fish.
She liked our post.
Yeah, she grabbed herself a big old muskie out of the kayak. So, awesome stuff.
Tell our listeners a little bit, Timmy, about what's it like to guide people kayak fishing? Because, you know, folks up here were used to getting guides like Tony Roach and, and you know, Jiggy was a guide up there on Leech, and he's got Raw Fish Media now, but and Leisure Outdoor Adventures. But tell our folks a little bit, like, what's it like to get a guide for kayak fishing? Because that's not like just jumping in a boat.
Well, you know, the thing with kayak fishing is there isn't a lot of repeat business, because if you own a boat and you take somebody out in your boat, not everybody can come out in the boat and see what it takes to fish out of a boat and then leave and go buy a boat. A lot of my clients will come and see what it's like to fish in a kayak and then go home and buy one. So I get a lot of beginners that have never kayak fished, and they're not difficult. I mean, most of the work is just getting the boats to the water, getting everything set up. My boats, I've guided out of Old Town Predators. They're super stable boats. You can stand and fish in them. You can sit on the side of them. You're not going to tip these boats over, so I don't have to worry about maintaining anybody's safety.
And when you talk about chasing big fish in a kayak, explain to our listeners what it's like going after one of these big striped bass in a kayak and how big of fish they get to be.
Well, my biggest fish last year was 41 inches long.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Yeah. And you'll get a bass out of the water. That would be fun because you're down there, I mean, almost water level. You're not sitting up in a boat. Even if you've got, you know, one of our Alumacraft, you know.
The T-Pro 195.
You're up there. You're out of the water a little bit. But when you're in a kayak, that the thing that I think that's cool about that is catching the fish at almost water level.
And it's tidal. So, I mean, on an outgoing tide, guess where the water's going?
Yeah.
Out to the ocean.
But, Tim, how are you communicating with your communicating with your guest? You want to teach the guest how to do this, but you're not in the same boat. How close are you all the time?
I just sit and watch.
Do you?
No. I stay close. I won't take any more than two clients. Occasionally, I'll take three if they're experienced and one of them provides their own boat. I bring two clients at a time because there's a tendency to drift apart when you're fishing, and I don't want to get too far away from any one client.
Yeah. All right. So for our listeners out there who've got some money to travel out to New Hampshire, how long do we have before break, Zep? We doing okay?
Oh, yeah. We're doing just fine. We can break any time in the next few minutes. We're so far off course now, we don't even have to.
All right. Well, for our listeners that got some money to travel to New Hampshire, you're going to want to listen to Timmy Moore when we're talking to him about white perch, because Lake Winnipesaukee with Tim Moore Outdoors TV, it's one of the few lakes that have this type of fish, and Tim's just been there with In Fisherman, North American Fish, and all these folks, and they all want to get a piece of Tim, so it might be a good time to get to break and bring back our listeners.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I'm starting to wonder if A-Rod and Lance Armstrong share the same brain. Somehow they'll always find a way to be the victim.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Hey, it's Ben from Radioactive Sports. Join me Saturday from 11 to noon at the St. Paul Saints new stadium in Lower Town, St. Paul. Stop by Gloria's CHS Field for food, fun, beer and prizes, and your first chance to look around the new digs. Everyone will be entered to win four club seats for opening night. For more information and RSVP, visit saintsbaseball.com/pick-your-seat. That's saintsbaseball.com/pick-your-seat. So join me at CHS Field, the new home of the St. Paul Saints.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of The Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold, and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual AlumaCash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's Alumacraft is the best deal on the water.
At Mills Fleet Farm, made in the USA is more than a label. It's the way we do business. A Roadrunner Supreme Power Battery is $10 off with exchange. Touch up with Rust-Oleum Painter's Touch Spray Paint. 12-ounce cans, $2.99. Get your fishing tackle organized now with the Plano Hybrid Hip Stowaway Tackle Box, just $39.99. And made in the USA almonds are on sale. 16 ounces, $5.99 at Mills Fleet Farm.
Love it. Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Speaking of your Fleet Farm, don't forget they got all those great tires, Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many more. Thanks to all of our sponsors, our new sponsor, Custom Truck Accessories, Lakes Trading Company, Alumacraft Fleet Farm, And you were, Boomer, just telling me something about Dan's Southside Marine when we were in break.
Yeah, I tell you what, guys, I was texting back and forth with Big Dan at Dan's Southside Marine, just saying, you know, the ice is melting, brother, and I am super pumped to get the Alumacraft T-Pro out on the water. We're going to chase some big sturgeon up on Rainy River here in the first 2 weeks of April, and then do the Governor's Opener here in the first part of May on Vermilion. But Dan has got some sweet deals going on for our listeners out there that are looking to get in a boat. These warm weathers are giving you the itch. It's called the March Meltdown. There's still some AlumaCash deals out there, which are rebates from AlumaCraft, the best aluminum boat in the marketplace, towards the end of March. And, folks, do not procrastinate. If you're looking to get new electronics, if you're looking to get a new Graph GPS system, if you're looking to buy a kicker or get some tune-up work on your boat, don't wait before the middle of April, the end of April, to get work done on your boat. Bring your boat in now. Buy what you want. Get it into Dan so you can get it out and you can have time to enjoy it and get rid of that damn anxiety the couple weeks before opener.
Oh, that's what you were saying. Okay.
Did you hear that, Chesky? Boomer, Boomer called you fat when he started that little spot there.
Big, he did.
Chesky. Big Dan Chesky. What do you mean by that?
There's a diff.
Let's go, Zeph. Your turn, pal.
Tim Moore, TimMooreOutdoors.com. You'll find him on YouTube as well, Tim Moore Outdoors. Thanks for coming in and spending some time. So, New Hampshire, what are you doing in town?
Oh,
I mean,
geez.
New Hampshire's home, right?
Yeah, I'm on a 12-day ice fishing road trip. I stopped in Michigan to fish with a guy named John Sibley, who guides on Lake
Never Go, heard of
Go
him.
Gebbet.
Yeah, we
yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy, your
and
guy
then,
Sibley, you bet.
Yeah, I was at Ice Shots for the last few days
yeah.
With Boomer and Jason Mitchell and a whole bunch of other awesome people.
I saw then, that on your Facebook page. Yep,
yeah, tomorrow we head off to Ice Team University. And then Monday and Tuesday, I'll be fishing with the Lake of the Woods outdoorsman, Jean-Paul Tessier, up wow. on Lake of the Woods.
Wow. Jeez, if you're going to hit the Midwest, that's the way to do it,
you
man.
Bet.
And
yeah.
you talked about them really laying it out for you. Have you, you've been to Minnesota before, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so you're
second
you're,
home, though.
Oh, yeah, right. So this is a frequent for you. How does it compare, Midwest and our hard ice, to back east?
You typically have a little more ice. You usually have a little more snow, except this year we have yeah. more snow than you guys do.
Yeah.
Typically a little more ice, and some of the species, you know, you have some bigger fish, bigger walleye, bigger pike. We don't have muskies,
right.
but, you know, very similar in a lot of ways.
What about the culture, and that's the guys and the gals that get out and do it. Is it as pathological as it is here? I mean, is it as rich and as many people do it? I mean, because our lakes turn into neighborhoods in the winter.
Some, yeah. Lake Winnipesaukee is pretty well known. The bays on Lake Winnipesaukee that are accessible have pretty creative. We're known for our creativity on our bob houses. The guys that put out the permanent shacks get pretty creative. We have shacks that look like beer bottles and shacks with decks and two stories. And
yeah. Decks.
Yeah, they get pretty
elaborate
with them.
That's pretty cool. Well, did we talk about the white perch?
No,
the world
here
records?
We go, white perch.
Yeah, somebody said something
it.
Off the air, and
big
I still haven't heard
perch.
The story. I don't think I missed it, did I?
No, I guide during the winter on Lake Winnipesaukee for white perch, and we have a unique fishery there. We have some of the largest white perch in anywhere in North America.
I'm not as familiar. When you say white perch, I guess that's new to me. What's the difference between a white perch and our good old Midwest perch?
Well, they're not perch, for one thing. They're temperate bass. They look very similar to a white bass. Most of the people in the Midwest that I show photos of them to say, oh, look, a white bass.
Right.
No striping. They have purple under their mouths, but they look similar to a white bass. But they're typically 7 to 10 inches long.
Yeah.
Michigan state record was set last year. It was 1.75 pounds.
Okay.
I catch those every time I fish.
Well, come on. I heard something about a world record.
Yep. I mailed off paperwork not long before I left to come out here to the IGFA for approval for the new 4-pound test line class world record. White perch was 2 pounds, 11 ounces.
Holy cow, hit the 2-pounder.
Edible.
That's yeah. just amazing. What's your secret?
I'm on that lake 5 or 6 days a week.
Yeah, right.
Is that 2-pounder back in the water?
No.
Is it on your wall?
No, I ate him.
He does a fish, man. I love it.
Here's the
good
thing.
Answer.
That 2-pound, 11-ounce fish is actually smaller than I was looking for.
Tell me you were filming
really?
That one.
We were not filming that one, but we'll be filming when I get home probably about the next 10 days because I'm looking to get bigger.
So you anticipate a 3-pound white perch.
That's what I'm hoping for. I caught him 3 pounds last year.
Holy God almighty.
Now tell our listeners a little bit, when we talk, Timmy, about the things you have to go through. We just got a couple minutes to get that world record. I mean, like the rod, all the yada, 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 red tape.
Yeah, you don't just go catch the fish. Normal ice fishing rods are too short. The IGFA measures tip length, which is from the center of the reel to the tip of the rod, has to be a minimum 40 inches.
Why do they care?
Consistency and, you know, have an even playing field. Oh, they're the ones holding the record for me.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. You have to have it weighed on a certified scale. You have to have proof that it was certified.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of like state records, you can just go in. It has to be verified by a fisheries biologist, and then you have to pay to submit the record. You don't just submit it for free. Not anybody can just mail it in. So it's not just something everybody's going to want to do.
And how about what lure were you using at the time when you caught that 211?
I was using a clam epoxy drop.
There you go.
Oh, that was a hot one this weekend too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's my favorite jig.
It's exciting. Yeah.
What? How has it been for you here in the Midwest? How'd you do up at Gogebic? Mutt's had better weather than these guys had.
It was windy. The fishing was slow. But, you know, John Sibley, he's one of the best guides I've ever fished with, and he'll show you a good time no matter what the fishing's like. So
he's a great guy.
I had a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, and you said you're off to Lake of the Woods after this?
I'll be on Osakis for the next 4 or 5 days.
Yes, and probably a couple other lakes up near that Alexandria.
Boom, we've got about a minute. How do you guys want to wrap it up? You got anything you want to mention about the lake report?
I just want to mention the lake
report.
They're
going through
the
ice.
The ice is starting to melt. You know, we've been in the 50s and 70 degrees.
Dripping.
It's dripping away, and that ice is going to start to give away near the shoreline first. So
I saw somebody just yesterday went in Rice Lake.
Yeah, so be careful right away near those landings. They're going to start to get a little sloppy. But if the ice is safe, you can get some of the best fishing. Go north. Go to the north part of the lakes. Jason Mitchell talked about it, where it's going to start to be warmer. That oxygen level is going to get a little better, and you're going to get some fish. Timmy?
Follow Tim Moore north up to Lake of the Woods.
Yeah, I just want to say one quick shout out to my buddy back home, Chuck Fritz. He's the one that makes a lot of this stuff possible behind the scenes. He runs the camera for me. He helps out in ways that a lot of people wouldn't do. So
maybe next time Chuck can come along on the trip. Thank you, Chuck. Tim Moore Outdoors. You can find him at timmooreoutdoors.com or on YouTube, Tim Moore Outdoors. Mark Harsh, Stan Kredemacher, and, of course, Jason Mitchell. Thanks, everyone. Wildcard Boomer, Mark Lukey, our producer. Vaughn, quietly back there in the corner. Well, it wouldn't be a show without him. Thank you. Sunday morning, 6 o'clock for the rebroadcast and the
podcast,
105theticket.com.
The fight for the dance happens this week when the Big Ten Basketball Championships are on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Rice splitting the defense, icing down the lane.
Our Big Ten coverage starts Thursday at 10:45 a.m.
Triple pull up from 17, he buried it again, he's feeling it now.
It's time to decide the champion on the hardwood.
Ooh. Oh, yeah! All the way into the paint, two-handed smash.
On Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of the Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold, and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual Alumacash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's Alumacraft is the best deal on the water.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids. And make lasting memories before they ditch you and then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan's Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DansSouthsideMarine.com.
At
Mills Fleet Farm, made in the USA, is more than a label. It's the way we do business. A Roadrunner Supreme Power Battery is $10 off with exchange. Touch up with Rust-Oleum Painter's Touch Spray Paint. 12-ounce cans, $2.99. Get your fishing tackle organized now with the Plano Hybrid Hip Stowaway Tackle Box, just $39.99. And made in the USA almonds are on sale. 16 ounces, $5.99 at Mills Fleet Farm.
Now, safety on the road starts at Mills Fleet Farm. Right now, get a $50 gift card when you buy a set of Roadrunner, Cooper, Uniroyal, Mastercraft, or Starfire tires. Plus, get up to an additional $70 Visa card rebate on select Cooper tires. Need a snack? Dry roasted peanuts are on sale. 2 16-ounce jars, just $3. Power through piles of laundry with Tide Simply Clean or Era 2x Power. Your choice, only $7.88 at Mills Fleet Farm.